Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, that is how we usually do the Wednesday shows. I just start recording and then we just get ready on the air because we're a teaching hospital.
Are we?
Yeah. Did you see how see that image I sent you of my microphone with the crime scene tape over it?
No, I didn't open my Gmail yet, though. Is that where it is?
Open your Gmail. It's
I will.
It's cute little crime scene tape, like a little loop of it. It kind of looks like Barbie's Funhouse crime tape or something. It's I bought a bunch of copies of CSI on DVD used on Amazon, like whole season sets of four seasons. And one of them came like wrapped in a piece, a circle of paper that was like quarter inch.
Are you serious?
Half inch high. Crime scene. Do not pass. And it's actually over my speaker right now. It fits perfectly over one of the top of my computer speaker. But I put it on my RE20 mic because I want to.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Isn't
it
funny?
This microphone could not be mistaken for any other media personality's microphone. This is 100% Michael Dean's microphone.
Well, I don't know. If you took the cats off and you took the crime scene tape off and just had the like rock and roll bandana around the scissor arm, you might think it's Bradley Dean's arm because you know Mike because it's really rock and roll.
Yes, if you took two of the three things that make it yours away, then yeah, it wouldn't be obvious.
But I really like this picture.
The little pictures of the cats, man. Okay, if Michael ever sends you a piece of gear, like you're on the golden floppy disk of redemption or something, and you decide that you want to ask Michael for something.
The super list, which is really just
you,
like
you will have little kitten pictures all over anything Michael sends you.
Yeah, like something you'd give a 7-year-old girl for doing well in her first day of first grade or something. Like, I love kitty stickers, man. DJ loves them too. We buy them by the case.
Do you really?
No.
Do you have a pallet of children's cat stickers?
We don't buy them by the case, but every once in a while we buy them. And I'd kind of forgotten about them and stopped using them. And I was cleaning out an old drawer. And I found a bunch in the bottom and just stuck them all over everything.
Nice.
I think the Comrex needs some kitty stickers.
What did Google do to their Gmail downloads? Everything's worse now.
Everything's worse, man, because the government runs Gmail, doesn't it? Pretty much.
Might as well. Yeah, I don't know. I liked Google until everybody liked Google. And I don't mean to sound hipster about that. I just mean like lately they've been changing things and they're not for the better.
Yeah. Whenever companies change crap like that, they never give you the option, almost never give you the option to not have
Google
it.
Gives you like a little grace period. They're better about it than some others. But, you know, like it can their warnings about it can get annoying. Like my iGoogle has been warning me every day for the past year.
Tell it that, went
yes,
away. Yeah,
iGoogle will be gone soon.
Yeah, there's some kid. Did you send me the thing? There's some kid who's like setting up something to replace Google using like Raspberry Pi Linux.
I saw that. I did not send that to you. But I didn't even read the
Raspberry Pi. Do you know about that thing? It's pretty cool. It's like a Linux computer
like a
on a board.
Little,
it costs like $125 and is like the size of a pack of smokes, and it's for hobbyists and probably private drone designers. But So the rock and roll scarf on my scissor arm is not to look rock and roll. Although DJ walked in the room after I did it, she came home from work and she's like, "Oh, was your scissor arm cold?" But is this part of the teaching hospital?
You wrap your microphone up in a bandana?
It was cold. It's just for winter. I take it off in the spring. Mm. No, it's because I was getting a little bit of the sound of the springs when I'd move it, and this totally deadens the sound of the springs.
That's good.
So
that's good.
Maybe I should put that somewhere.
Well, I don't have any springs in my setup because I use a gooseneck.
Yeah, but it's not as movable, and it does make noise when you move it.
it's more movable because there's it can move in any direction, not just, you know, open, close like a scissor.
So you just sent me this thing about Common Core, which you were ranting about. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what that is, about 2 months ago. Talk about this, man.
Yeah, well, I just found this on my Twitter feed. We joke about how if we ever run out of show notes, we're just going to go through our Twitter feed because we follow people who tweet awesome things. We've got the best twats on our feed. But yeah, so Common Core, apparently in New York, teachers are complaining because they got the Common Core textbooks a month after school started, so they came late. When they finally arrived, the teachers, get this, not you know, people who are independent media folks or people who watch Common Core and are critical of it, the teachers themselves,
the left-wing liberal minority Democrat, New York atheist, intellectual, can't be fired even if they diddle a student, teachers are like, this is not acceptable.
Like, I thought that was the only way they could get fired.
That was me practicing. Well, you know, talk show hosts are retiring left and right. Let's see who retired. Randy Rhodes, the liberal chick
who's really popular. I don't know who that is.
Who stole her name from Ozzy's guitar player, literally. She's retiring in a month. It was said that today. And
okay.
I'm just practicing for when Rush retires with that rant. The liberal Jewish New York atheist agnostic can't be fired if they diddle a student. Yeah, I'm practicing for Rush's heat.
Okay. It was good. It was good. Yeah. It was very Rush-esque. But yeah, so even them, all the people that Michael complained about in his rant, were complaining about all of the errors in these Common Core textbooks. And here's, you know, at first I was like, okay, yeah, there's some errors, big deal. Like, apparently the lessons are really long and arbitrary, and there's pages upside down, and there's questions that
now,
don't
here's
actually
the thing.
Match
DJ,
with the reading sections.
DJ just bought a book that was missing, like, 25 pages, and Amazon immediately dealt with it. Like, Amazon, I filled it out, it took me 5 minutes, and they sent me a replacement and told me to send theirs back, and then they credit me for the postage. Like, they didn't even wait to get it back. The government will not work that way. This is, I'll say it right now, Obamacare combined with Common Core, combined with everything George Bush did, combined with everything Obama's doing and trying to do, is literally going to lead us to the movie Idiocracy. That's going to be America.
Yeah, Idiocracy was a documentary. You didn't know that?
Yeah, we said that.
Yeah, it really is sad to see, but very true. The thing that scared me too about this Common Core stuff is it's not just that it's wrong, you know, that there's mistakes. It's also that it's just bad. It's indoctrination on its face. The example we talked about a few weeks ago was basically rewriting the Second Amendment, because instead of actually having the Bill of Rights, they had the gist of the Bill of Rights.
Oh, but they had them wrong. They had them wrong. Now, the gist wouldn't be a bad thing. You know, I got through AA. I'm still sober, like almost 20 years later. I cannot recite word for word the 12 steps. I can definitely tell you the gist of each one of them and how they fit in my life and work on a daily basis. And I remember one time talking with a guy who'd gone out and relapsed, who was so high on heroin, he was slurring his words. Oh, I can hear you vaping really loud, man. He was slurring his words, just drooling on heroin, giving me a word-perfect recitation of the 12 steps and saying he didn't need meetings. He didn't need meetings because he could recite the 12 steps. So the gist would be okay, but the adopted gist, I think their Second Amendment said that the state militias have a right to bear arms. And I'm like, what fucking nation has ever needed to put in writing that their army can have guns? I mean, that's so ridiculous, man. That's for the people, not for the army.
Well, good point. But I guess that's why, if you are going to have written edicts as your law of the land, which I take exception to in the first place. But if you are going to have that, then you have to use the actual text, right? Yeah. I mean, otherwise, how are you supposed to come to some kind of consensus they're on how to interpret it?
No, they're teaching you that they're smarter than you. Okay, they obviously are. They write these textbooks and publish them. They're smarter than you, and they know how to interpret them for you. You don't have to think about it. And I do want to say that the name of the episode today is something about when free speech will be illegal, or free speech will soon be illegal, or this kind of free speech will be illegal, because it goes with my picture of my microphone with a crime scene tape over it that came on my CSIs. Okay. You know, man, watching.
You're teaching to the test. You're teaching to the picture.
Yeah. You know, the company that published these fucked up books is Pearson. I've done work for Pearson at some point, and I'm trying to figure out, I've cashed checks from this company before.
Was it one of their government contracts?
No, it was, Pearson paid me not to write a book, of all things. That kind of fits in with this.
Oh, that kind of does. Yeah. Like the government paying you not to raise crops.
Yeah. I wrote this book called, God, what was it called? I wrote it. It was supposed to be with like 12 other people. Here's what it was I got a deal with them to write a book on DIY digital audio. And it was years ago, before digital audio was such a common thing. This was like 2006.
And so they paid you not to write it. And so instead of writing it, you just talked about it all the time on your podcast.
They paid me to write it and didn't publish it. And then we put it out on the internet free. It was kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
There you go.
It was me and like 10 other people. This is one of the lessons I learned of, like, don't collaborate with people. People will fucking disappoint you, because I had except you and a few other people. But I had, like, basically I was like, okay, I'm going to get like 6 or 7 of my friends who used to be rock stars and used to be on the cover of Rolling Stone, and now they're teaching guitar lessons and trying to pay their rent. I'll throw them a bone. I'll have them each write a couple chapters in this. And it ended up being so much fucking work that it was mind blowing. And it ended up just me and this guy, Skip Fredrickson. You've worked with him. Chris Calder is his other name.
Oh,
He wrote this book with me. And we both got money from it. We like split it. I got 60, he got 40, and I did like 20 times as much work, because I dealt with all the guys who wrote stuff and then sucked and had to be fired. And one of them was like so resistant to being fired, like I had to have the company fire him. Like, he wouldn't let me fire him because he did not write what he was hired to do. He wrote something really esoteric and like mind, you know, like, here's something about the vibrations of music within all of you, and here's a physics chart that proves what I'm saying. And like, it, you know, we wanted him to write something on basic like software recording, and he just wouldn't bow out. And I actually had to like get the company, stop vaping into the mic. I had to get the company to send my like longtime friend a lawyer letter. It was really fucked up, man. That's what happens when you work on stuff like that. But we got paid to do it, and then the guy, we finished it, and then the guy who like the editor at the company who hired us, like, he got fired. His division got downsized. They said they're not putting the book out. And then we fought to get it because we didn't want it shelved. And then we put it out free on the internet. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. So you should have just bypassed that all in the beginning and just put it out on the internet.
So at least they finished these books. Well, but we got like $10,000 for doing it.
Oh.
Which was barely worth it. It probably worked out to minimum wage. But it was a good learning experience. So I guess this company, that's the same company that put out these Common Core books. So. So maybe they should stick to paying people not to write books, because it's even worse when they pay them to write them and publish them.
There you go. Yeah. Well, apparently this isn't their first book release for Common Core that's been full of mistakes. Who is it? Joy Pullman, managing editor of School Reform News, actually said the odd thing, which I wouldn't call it odd, but she says Common Core has been available for 3 years now. Pearson has not managed to get an error-free book together yet. After 3 years. And like I was saying earlier, it's not just the mistakes that make this thing horrible. It's things like the Second Amendment thing, which...
Did you read the Orwellian part?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Go ahead.
So it's not just stuff like that, but it's even creepier than doing things like subtly changing, well, subtly for people who've never read the Bill of Rights, but changing the Second Amendment. They actually have Orwellian statements, and these aren't like in social studies lessons or anything like that. These are in English or grammar lessons about possessive nouns. They have statements, and the examples are things like, the commands of government officials must be obeyed by all, and quote, an individual's wants are less important than the nation's well-being.
Yeah, that's pretty Orwellian from our standpoint, but the second one wouldn't be. Actually, neither of them are that far out of what they teach in school. I'm thinking it's a little bit at a time. Like in a year or two, it's going to be like, please diagram this sentence. I love Obamacare, and for the next 5-year plan, I'm being transferred to Tractor Factory 11.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think one of the more sinister or insidious things is that these are just examples. So they start with a premise. You know, it's not think about what the government should do for you or why do we need a government. It's they take this as an example. So it's just something the kid learns but doesn't really think about as ever being wrong. It's as factual to the kid as the sky is blue or Joy sees that the sky is blue. And the other example, also including the Bill of Rights, was they wanted kids to ponder what kind of new rights they could add to the Bill of Rights or what rights they could take away from the Bill of Rights, which I guess is a little bit more honest. But still, why would you want your kids learning from these horrible textbooks? That boggles my mind, especially now that I've got a little girl on the way. I want to protect her as much as I can from these kinds of things.
There's a thing going around, a meme going around that to protest Common Care, teachers should take their kids out of school on November or whatever. You know, like calling
or forever.
And I'm thinking I'm thinking like, what is that going to do, man? You know, I'm reading this book about Frank Zappa that Frank Zappa really liked. He said it was the best biography ever written about him. It's written in 1991 and it's called Frank Zappa, No Commercial Potential, which is a great name for a book about Frank Zappa.
Did somebody say that? Didn't A&R say that about one of his records?
Everybody said that. Okay. People said that after he was selling lots of records even. I kind of see connections between like him playing the music he was playing and me calling up. You snorting something there? And me calling up right wing radio stations and saying, hi, we're the Freedom Fiends, you know. And it even starts with just the Freedom Teens. What? You know, like
Freedom Teens.
we picked a name that's really cool, but it's like nobody over 30 gets it, you know, or like people that aren't our target demographic, like even the secretary. Right. I have to even like grit my teeth to get through her, you know. And then I get the boss on and I'm like, hi, we have an anarchist radio show, would you like to put it on between Rush Limbaugh and the Cowboy Church Show on Sunday, you know? That's how I feel doing this.
I get you. But anyway, you're talking about Frank Zappa.
He said on the liner notes of his first record, he said like at the bottom, just out of context after the lyrics, he said like, drop out of school before you become poisoned by their mediocre education and just go to the library.
Yeah. Well, you don't even need to walk your butt to the library anymore. Oh, it's not radio. You don't need to walk your ass to the library anymore. You just
don't need to
put pants on. You just
bleeding
your smartphone up.
Butthole that's been raped by cops sticking their finger up your lower intestine and tickling your throat.
Man. Yeah, speaking of cops, we always bring up that quote. Is it Eazy-E or Dr. Dre who said, I don't think all cops are bad.
Just like 95% of them. Yeah.
Right. Well, I was thinking about doing that Freedom Fiends or just the Fiends mix, you know, the DJ mix where I take every hip hop line I can think of where they use the word fiend.
Yeah.
In reference to your secretaries and news director, program directors. But they would hate that even more. They'd be like, what? Do you like rap?
I know.
But I came across a Drake line in Going In. He says, 21 years and I ain't never met a good cop. So Drake takes it a step further than Dre. He says, nah, none of them. Or at least I haven't met them.
Well, I've met some cops that were decent, but who knows what they do when they're not being decent to me. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, they've probably
I've met
all
some that are nice to me.
They've probably arrested someone for a joint. So they're not good. They're not good people, you know?
Or kicked somebody while they were on the ground in handcuffs, saying things like, stop resisting.
I don't know that they've all done that.
Enough of them have. If you live in Houston, enough of them have.
I think a lot of older cops were kind of, like, what's that show that used to be on TV? Mayberry, RFD, yeah. And mm-hmm. those guys are being phased out, given early retirement, or when they retire, they're just replacing them with like young dudes on steroids, fresh from Fallujah, literally. Have you seen
from Fallujah? Yeah.
Have you seen that picture going around? It's a meme. It's a Free State Project, New Hampshire meme, and they took that famous picture of Andy Griffith with the fishing pole with Opie, and they're walking, like little Opie, and they're walking down the country dusty road to the fishing hole. It's the opening scene and credits of that movie, of that show.
I know.
And somebody did a really good job photoshopping, like right behind them, like a foot behind them, a bear cat with cops pointing machine guns at them in full body armor with the captions like, let me see your hands now. And you got a permit for that thing for the fishing pole.
Wow.
And and the caption says, more Mayberry, less Fallujah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, homie. But yeah. Speaking of Idiocracy, have you seen all these this Colorado I don't know if they're volunteers or just college kids. I don't know if this is a joke, but they've been putting out all these horrible Obamacare ads under
George
the name
Soros,
Got
man.
Insurance?
No, that's George Soros is paying for that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's a good way to segue in after we talk about that. Yeah, there's like one that everyone's making fun of, like Obamacare will let you be a slut. It's like this young couple and the woman's in high heels and she's got her arms around this guy who really kind of looks sleazy. He's got a beard and he just looks like...
He's got a unibrow. He just shaves the middle of it.
Yeah, he looks like, this is the fourth chick he's banged today. And, the caption is her saying like, gee, I hope he's as easy to get as my Obamacare was, or as my birth control was.
As my birth control.
Under Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And I'm like... If I wanted to appeal to young women that were sexually active, I wouldn't put that. It's so crass and it's so like
it really is.
God, I hope he's easy. I don't know, man. It just looks like
campaign upsets me because where do they get off thinking that more people are going to have insurance that's cheaper than what they're paying now? I mean, everything I've read and seen and experienced is people's rates are going to go up, especially the young people that supposedly these ads are going after, man. If you don't have insurance now, you're going to pay way more than your car payment to get it.
I just don't know. I really don't know if it's intentional or just massive stupidity. Alex Jones constantly says it's, six trillionaires who drink owl's blood and plan all this shit. But I don't know if I believe that. But it's also really hard to believe that like college educated people with above average IQs just think that you can add 2 and 2 and get 222, which is what the Obama administration is doing with everything they do, man. They're using Common Core, base 4 math or something. I don't know.
I suppose it could be a little bit of both. I mean, as far back as Lysander Spooner, who came up with the original Gresham principle, he blames by name the Rothschilds, and not in the sense that they're in a back room planning out the world's events and the war, but in the sense that they're the ones who are the biggest money lenders and they're going to lend to governments because governments have a safer return on investments because those governments are using bloody murder basically to extract taxes from their tax cattle. And so it could be a cabal of the richest people in the world creating incentives that then stupid people, well, not even stupid people, but people respond to incentives, smart and stupid. And so it doesn't have to be a cabal planning. It can just be the richest people in the world creating an incentive structure that people then go out and think that, well, we have to work within the system. Let's do this Obamacare thing.
Yeah, that within the system shit really pisses me off sometimes. I laugh at it most of the time, but when I really internalize it, I'm like, man. I mean, that goes back to like the first caveman hitting the second one over the head and like stealing something of his, like his wife or his food or something. And like that's the system. And, actually mathematics and written language were invented for taxation, which I guess, the statists would say, see what the government did. But I am absolutely positive that would have been invented probably quicker without it. If there wasn't an oppressive force, people would have said, oh, we have leisure time to sit around and think of a way to count our crops. You know, I think I'm really trying to, I have an idea that maybe we should try to tend away from like saying we're anti-government. We're basically anti-bullying, and governments are the biggest bullies out
Anti-bullying. You know? I love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we've flirted around with different alternatives to saying we're anti-government, and my whole thing is I'm not even anti-government. I'm anti-bullying. I'm anti-violations of the non-aggression principle. It's just the biggest perpetrator of that in the history of humanity is the various governments which equal the state.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a meme going around that's something to the effect of, like, the founding fathers certainly didn't envision an America where nobody could opt out of it. And some of them did, but the good ones, those slaveholders, like Jefferson and Madison probably wanted people to be able to leave if they didn't want to. You know who just left? Did you see that? I sent you an email about it today.
Oh, Tina Turner.
Yeah, she didn't actually leave. She's been gone for 20 years living in Switzerland, probably because it's, you know, they appreciate her there and it's probably mellower to live there and lower crime. But yeah, she's not renouncing her American citizenship. What is she doing? It's some other terminology. It's like revoking. I think it's revoking.
Relinquishing.
Revoking. Yeah. I like that. I would like to be.
What's the difference?
One is treason and one is a procedure.
Ah, I see. I see. What are the reasons she gave?
She didn't give reasons in the one that I saw. Huh? No.
All right. You think it's taxes? You think it's the fact that she's been living somewhere else where her roads are provided by somebody else and she's still paying for your roads?
It's probably that. Yeah, because I don't know that Switzerland is really much of a tax haven. I mean, it's a banking tax haven for people who don't live in Switzerland. It's less than it used to be because America has bullied Switzerland into turning over a lot of Swiss bank account numbers. But not all banks in Switzerland are what are commonly called Swiss bank accounts. In Switzerland, they call those black bank accounts. They're like, you know, not public, not...
Because rappers get them?
Yes. No, rappers...
Or at least they rap.
Rappers invest in the same sort of IRAs that libertarians do. They invest in guns, weed, and gold, man. They just need to get on the Bitcoin tip.
Why do you think I like hip-hop and libertarianism? They're compatible, man.
You don't see a difference.
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except instead of overbeats, you know, libertarians like to talk about theories.
I hear the train.
They're just a little more progressive. You hear the train coming? It's coming around the bend. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I like how we haven't touched our notes. I don't think we've touched our notes in weeks, man.
Do we have notes? Oh.
Yeah, we don't need notes. But we could just do a little bit more here and then segue into... I think we should segue into talking about the interview that we don't have booked yet, but we have penciled in for an indeterminate date with
very exciting one. This one,
Grover Norquist. Yeah,
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 yeah.
We'll do that in the second part, but yeah.
Okay, so we're not doing Norquist now.
Well, we could segue into him because we did mention George Soros, and George Soros paid for those billboards that's like, you know, Obamacare will let you be a slut. They should say you'll be able to get your free penicillin after you bang this sleazy dude with the beard. But
oh man, yeah. Except I don't even think it will. If it actually did, man, I could see people being a little bit more happy and pointing to their birth control pills while the sleazy guy's behind them and they're twerking. But I don't really think it's going to work like that, man.
No, man. No. Actually, I heard something like 30 times as many people bought guns legally, like went through a background check this past month, then successfully signed up for Obamacare.
Oh, there's some great ones on the Twitter sphere right now. There was one, more people attended the gathering of the Juggalos than signed up for Obamacare.
Man, talk about people that probably need Obamacare.
Right, because if Dirk Nowitzki is going to be shooting at your ass in an open field,
the BB
you're
going to
need some healthcare after that.
Yeah, we'll be dropping viruses from helicopters, yo. Viruses. Who's Dirk Nowitzki?
Dirk Nowitzki, yeah, he's a NBA
washed
player.
Up. Is he good?
I'm
one
probably saying
up?
Is no, he's good. I don't follow basketball much anymore. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But
yeah,
he's got one of those ski names, those Eastern European names that my wife has. You know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Glenn Beck back when he was going after Soros and like calling Soros the most powerful, scary man in the world, who's not in a politician. He did like a couple weeks on Soros on his TV show, and then he did like 3 days on the Federal Reserve, and then they kicked him off TV.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. One of the six billionaires who runs the world, which, you know, one of them is probably George Soros, or trillionaires, you know, just said like, no, like they pulled up their big console, the big board, and said like, delete.
Right. Canceling Glenn Beck. There's an app for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But around that time,
I wish
time,
there was an app to not listen to him. Oh wait, there is. It's just
around that time. He mentioned the name, Grover Norquist, and said like, you know, people just go ahead and Google this guy. He's a scary guy, and I'm too scared to go after him. And I'm like, really?
Grover Norquist is a scary guy. Grover What's Norquist? Scary about Grover Norquist?
His name is Grover. How scary can you be, man?
Yeah, he wants to drown your DMV clerk in a bathtub. No, that's not what he meant.
All right,
what could be scary?
We'll have more coming back on how we have come to have a tentative agreement to do an interview on the Fiends from the man that is so scary, Glenn Beck, who was going after George Soros, wouldn't dare go after him. We'll go to the market.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, so Grover Norquist. Who is Grover Norquist and why? We've invoked his name on probably 25% of the Fiends episodes because what did he say? He is actually known for probably the most famous macho libertarian flash statement ever. And what is it?
He said he wanted to reduce government to the size where he could then drown it in a bathtub.
And what did I say to that?
He said, you don't want to do that. You just want to make it feel so bad about itself that it then goes and drowns itself in the bathtub.
Yeah. So
or
we kind of
slits its wrist the wrong way like an emo kid.
Yeah. Well, the other day I was feeling feisty and I tweeted. You know, I'm actually liking Twitter a lot more than Facebook because the stuff that you tweet – people who are signed up to see your tweets actually see
actually
them.
See it.
Nothing pops up and says, pay me $35 and I'll show this to your friends.
And Twitter doesn't constantly ask you questions about your past.
And it doesn't ask you if you
where did you go to high school?
It doesn't ask you if you know people. I know. It's like a it's like a stalker girlfriend with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
With Alzheimer's.
You know,
like I told
it's constantly asking me what my hometown is and I don't really have one hometown. Like, I grew up in, like, three or four different places.
The internet.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to. I tried to do Earth because I couldn't think of anything. Or I think I maybe tried Merca, and it wouldn't let me. Or it tried to give me an actual city named Earth, Tennessee or something.
Earth,
I'm like,
Tennessee.
No, I'm not from Earth, Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm liking Twitter. So I tweeted the other day. It was a very simple, short tweet, and it was – I'm so small government, I make Grover Norquist look like FDR. And about a day later, he retweeted it. I was like, fucking awesome, man. That's
and then
so
he
awesome.
Replied with something that would only be good hearing it in that context.
Well, no, here's what he did. He tweets a bunch. Not a bunch. He tweets, you know, probably 10 tweets a day or something. He tweeted it his last tweet of one day. And then the next day, I guess he was still thinking about it because then he retweeted it again his first tweet of the day and added to it. He said, that's really small.
Right, right. Which is something you'd only want to hear in that context.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you're really small.
That's really small.
And a lot of people retweeted it. A lot of people added me on Twitter. And somebody retweeted that I'm probably trying to drown it in a thimble.
Yes, but yeah, man. So he's kind of – at least that one sentence, which is another good proof of what we talked about on Sunday, which is, you know, the way memes flow through society and humanity. I mean, it's not – memes aren't just those little funny pictures you see on the internet. You know, they're ideas that spread and morph and stick in people's heads and then can change the way people behave because they stick in people's heads. And we don't – we didn't really know much about Grover Norquist other than that we love to say that thing that he said, you know, and that's just one thing that he said. And his whole career has been boiled down to that one statement for us.
Well, the thing is, he actually – I kind of didn't know that. I knew that he had the pledge and I knew he got a lot of Republicans to sign it and not many of them really stuck to it. But I actually – what I didn't know was that he's had that pledge for a really long time and he is – probably one of the main reasons that there's this kind of like undercurrent of I'm more small government than you in Congress, which I don't know if it actually changes the world. I mean, the minarchist part of me, or actually the part of me that isn't even minarchist is anarchist, but like looks at politics as, yeah, it does affect your life. You know, it's easy to dismiss it Ben Quaker style and say like, oh, well, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do and we can't have anything to do with it, which is true. But what they're doing at any given time has direct effects on you. And I really think that it's possible or probable that without Grover Norquist, like everything Obama was trying to do would have passed. I think he is the reason or a big reason that you've got such resistance to everything Obama's doing. And there's actually theories that like he has things on people in Congress. I don't believe it, but that, you know, Glenn Beck thinks things like that. And Glenn Beck thinks that Grover Norquist is a secret Muslim influencing the White House to like the Muslim Brotherhood, which is crazy.
Well, it's so
Obama
funny
would
because
like to drone the Norquist.
Well, you made a joke to me. I don't even think this was on the air that some Republicans were going to start hating him because his wife is a Palestinian Muslim, or start saying bad, mean things about him. And then a few days later, you sent me that Glenn Beck article where he had like run of the mill Islamophobes. I can't remember their names now. But he had them on his show basically just to fearmonger and conspiracy theorize about Grover Norquist's ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Man, and the Republican Party is so fractured. When you've got like Grover Norquist getting beefed on by Glenn Beck, it's like, man, they're never going to get – that party is never going to get – a president elected again.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the article you sent me was from like some liberal site, like the Daily Coast or something. And they were just giddy with glee about it. They weren't reporting it because it was interesting to them. They were reporting it because they loved the thought that the Republicans are fighting amongst themselves and it might make them less competitive in the next election.
Yeah. And some Democrats hate Grover Norquist, and some of them are really kind of amused by him. Like, they think the bathtub comment really kind of sums up, because they all believe, Democrats mostly believe, that government is the savior and it's the thing that organizes and it's what helps you. You know, one of the hater tweets to somebody retweeting my thing that Norquist tweeted was, somebody said, well, how small should government be? Depends. How much chaos and murder in the streets do you want? And I'm like, really? You think that order comes from the government? I didn't even say that, you know.
Because we all know how orderly the Obamacare website is.
Yeah, somebody wrote me today. Somebody wrote us today, Michael, and I don't know, he's got three first names. Michael, I guess, is his first name. And asked us, like, you know, I don't even know if he was asking us what we'd say, but he was saying, like, he was beefing with some statists. And I just wrote him back and said, man, I don't talk to people who defend the state like they're defending their mother. You know, state baiting will only make you nuts. And that's the new term on our glossary that was turned on. It was made up by Lou Sander Fiend, state baiting. And I don't know, though, if that's the right term. I like the sound of it for people who want to argue for the state. But state baiting sounds like something anarchists would do at statists, not the other way around. Maybe he means masturbating the state. That would make
sense. Are you talking about Michael Andrew Smith's comment or his question?
Yeah, I didn't ask if I could read his whole name, but I think people should assume that when we're writing us. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Sorry. If you want to remain anonymous and you email the talkback, say no names, please.
Yeah. But, it actually says that on the FAQ page, but who reads that?
Oh, does
that?
It? Okay. Yeah. Well, it was a good talkback. I mean, he was excited about our interview of Luna. And I thought maybe we should spend a little bit of time to address this thing, just a little bit. I think it's good to be responsive to our questions.
I don't. No? I have an agenda. No? I wanted to talk about how cool it is that Grover Norquist knows my name.
Well, maybe we're going to save it for later then. We're not done with Norquist, but
we're not done with Norquist.
You reminded me. So we'll get back to Mr. Smith's question later. But yeah, man. So
no, we won't. Norquist. We'll forget to. And this is something I've been noticing on our radio shows a lot.
Yes,
we should never pimp things in the beginning, because we often don't get around to them. That happened the other day. True. We did the best show ever on Sunday, and the only. You know, if I were going to like diagram that show and say what was right and wrong about it, it got the highest. It was the best show we ever did. But you pimped two things in the beginning that we're going to talk about later that we never got around to, because we did such a good job with the Ten Commandments thing and spent the whole show on it.
That's right. Yeah, well, sometimes something comes up and it takes precedence. You know, like when you're doing the puppy parade news show and then all of a sudden there's a SWAT raid next door.
Or when you're
look at this instead.
Or when you're working as a mainstream TV news anchor and then your boss gets arrested for drunk driving and getting into an accident.
Oh, man, I don't know if I'm legally allowed to go there.
I am. Nima's old boss and Casper got arrested for drunk driving after getting into a three-car pileup today.
Yeah.
And it was sent to you by someone who also used to work at that station who drinks who got fired for drinking. And he wrote you and with the headline and said, I learned it all from my boss.
Right. I learned it by watching you. That old marijuana PSA.
I read your book, you magnificent bastard. He should write that guy an email that said that. If he has the email where the guy fired him or told him like you're going to get fired, he should reply to it now and say, I read your book, you magnificent bastard.
What's that a reference to? I don't think
it's a reference to the movie Patton. And it's supposedly something Patton really said. George C. Scott's playing Patton, and Patton, when he was fighting in Africa, I forget what country it was, in what war, I think World War II, I should know this, but when he defeated Rommel in Africa, and later Rommel said to him, like, you know, how did you know my strategies? And he said, I read your book, you magnificent bastard, because Rommel had written a book on, like, tank warfare.
Wow. Yeah. And see, that's why nowadays, if Rommel existed, he would
he'd have to go
in exile, because he was aiding and abetting the enemy. He was providing material support by writing his strategies down in a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Grover Norquist.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about more of who he is? Or he also wrote a pretty decent article in the Washington Times.
Yeah, let's talk about all of that. But I do want to mention that part of the reason that Glenn Beck is going after Norquist so heavily right now, and this is something I actually want to ask him about when we finally interview him. I'm still working with his people on when it's going to be, but it's going to be a weekend radio show. And he bashed Ted Cruz, and, you know, I guess there's that Reagan thing of, like, a Republican should never bash a Republican, but he bashed Ted Cruz and basically said that the shutdown of the government was, I don't know the exact thing, but he just basically said it wasn't a good strategy, and it was kind of a 10th measure, and it was ridiculous, and it wasn't going to get anything done, which is pretty true.
Mm-hmm. And
Glenn Beck was like, oh, you spoke about the new Reagan, Ted Cruz. And, you know, just went on this war path on him. The headline here says, GOP Civil War, Glenn Beck declares war on Grover Norquist, right, from the Daily Kos.
Because Glenn Beck is just too enamored with his 12th imam, Ted Cruz.
War were declared.
Glenn Beck would declare war on me if he ever heard that or knew who I was.
Well, I told Grover that he should – I emailed him and said that he should do the interview and told him a little about the show and what stations we're on and that we're a fan of his, and that I'm the guy he tweeted and retweeted. And then I said, plus – it'll be good for you. It'll be good for all of us, because Glenn Beck will get an aneurysm because my co-host is a Persian American Texan with a beard.
Yes. Speaking of my beard, we have a few listeners in Iran, but one of my listeners in Iran was asking me why I wear my beard like it was weird to him, because in Iran, the hip young kids don't wear beards, because all the people who wear beards are like the
clerics,
religious leaders.
Yeah, the people mullahs that want to, like, throw them into a cage thinking about their wiener. Yeah.
Right. And so it kind of blew his mind that I wear a beard as you know, I think it looks good, but also I feel like I'm, you know, it looks good on me because I'm ethnically Persian, and I feel like my face was evolved to look good with a beard or something.
Yeah, it's starting to look less like a hipster beard and more like an imam beard as you get older, too.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it also depends on how long it gets. Like, I let it go for a little bit too long just to push the limits. But no, I trimmed it for my last wedding I did, because the guy who was the groom was a former IRS agent, former Air Force colonel, or not colonel, but some former status.
You didn't want him to drone the wedding party at his own wedding?
I did not.
Yeah.
Right.
To get the DJ.
I didn't say that. You said that. You said that. Oh, man. Anyway, it kind of blew his mind that for me, it makes me feel like kind of different and in a cool way to embrace my Iranian heritage, because he embraces his Americophiliac. I don't even know what you call it. Not Anglophile, Amerophile.
Amerophile.
He embraces his love of American culture.
Amerophile.
And the fact that he speaks English as what makes him cool and different and hip in his town, because he's, you know, in small town in Iran. So it's just weird how, you know, in one area, a cultural norm is completely cool and different. And in the other, it's just mundane.
Yeah. You know? If you have a shorter, more trimmed beard now, you should probably have someone take some more pictures of you and send them to me, because, the new Freedom Fiends picture, the picture of me with the mic and then the picture of you with your imam beard. I mean, that's just one more thing in the way of getting on conservative radio stations. Like, okay, we're so small government that we make Glenn Beck look like FDR, and we make all these Republicans you have on your station look like FDR, and sound like NPR.
Well, if we make Grover Norquist look like FDR, then we make Glenn Beck look like Mussolini.
Yeah, yeah. And And then they have to get over the fact that, like, if they ask me, like, well, are you constitutionalists? I'm like, well, I don't know. And I start quoting Spooner at them. And then they're like, if they still actually, you know, we're starting with a pool of 100%, you know, like, just that they've never heard us takes it down to like 30%. And then I tell them a little about us and it takes us down to like 8% of the people they'll possibly check us out. And then they go to the website and see a guy who looks like an imam. I mean, that's really, I'm amazed we're on 14 stations after 6 months.
Well, man. My wife has officially taken her leave of work to finish her pregnancy. And so she is now home. So if I get home for lunch and it's bright and daylight outside, I can have her snap some new photos of me with my trimmed beard, if you'd like.
Yeah, I've started just sending people to our website because GCN are great, but they're so busy and they're dealing with so many shows there that it's like, it takes weeks or months for them to update a picture I send on the website there. So I'm just going to send them to our website because I can update it whenever I want.
Fair enough.
This is just too delicious. This is from the Daily Coast. The GOP civil war over the shutdown fiasco is still ramping up. This is a few weeks back. Right after the government opened back up, it felt like it was only the establishment Republicans that were declaring war on the Tea Party and those young rapscallions like Ted Cruz. The Tea Party now fired back with their biggest cannon, Glenn Beck, and he's taken aim at the most established of all established Republicans, Grover Norquist.
Now, are either of those statements or characterizations of Beck or Norquist correct? Because those didn't ring true for me. I mean,
Glenn Beck once
called all Ron Paul supporters terrorists.
Grover Norquist is like he's like the George Soros of the Republican Congress, basically. I mean, he would probably not like that term, but in a way, you know, it's kind of true. I mean, I don't want to say George Soros, but, you know, I've never seen Grover Norquist and George Soros in the same room.
Well, I guess these are going to be things we're going to have to get him to clarify for us. I mean, I guess we could do more research, but who wants to do that? I want to know if how can you be an establishment or the most established of the establishment, as Daily Coast puts it, when you say you want government to be so small you could drown it in a bathtub, man? All the horrible Republican establishment things I can think of made government bigger and scarier.
I think all he does, I think his purpose in the Republican Party is to provide talking points for congressmen when they're running for office that they immediately abandon afterwards. Although when push comes to shove, they'll say all these things. Like they'll shut down part of the government for a few weeks or 11 days, but you know, they don't shut down the cops or the FBI or the wars or any of that stuff. They're not really small government.
Right.
He is though. Okay. He really is. And he's been he's run his organization or this kind of organization for a long time. And he was like a speechwriter at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in 1983. So he's been in and around all this for a long time. And he founded Americans for Tax Reform at the request of Ronald Reagan. And it's a really influential, well-funded, Glenn Beck says funded by the Muslim Brotherhood, but there's no truth in that.
So you're saying if we could convince him of anarchism, then he would turn the rest of the Republicans into anarchists?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, I do want to ask him about our theories on the anarchist roots of the Republican Party, because he probably knows of, if doesn't know, that speechwriter for Goldwater. What's the guy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Norquist is funny too. He does political. He does stand up comedy and stand up clubs, and it's really clean. It's but there's a thing on the Onion. Actually, we should play the thing on the Onion of Norquist. It's pretty damn funny. It's audio and it's.
Do you have it cued, or do you want me to fill with? His,
no, you fill, man. You fill with his stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of timely. We got a news peg. See, we act like real news people sometimes
without being drunk.
Yeah, there you go. He wrote a thing in the Times, an op-ed, saying cutting job-killing tariffs. So obviously he doesn't go too far enough because he's not a fiend.
He
yet.
Doesn't go too far not enough like his opponent.
Yeah. 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 But he's calling for an end to tariffs. So that's pretty economically wise of him, almost Austrian. And I don't think he's calling for a cut to them all.
And it's something very few Republicans would do, because most Republicans want to protect – U.S. interests and would just be like skewered if they said that. But he's not a politician, so he gets to say these awesome talking points that trickle down to the you know, I just think he's the reason that those people talk like that. Here we go.
Well, you got it? Okay.
My name is Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. Over the last week, some very illicit, very scandalous images of myself carousing with taxes have surfaced. And while I at first attempted to deny that I had ever had any romantic dalliances with taxes, I would like to take this opportunity to say that the photographs are in fact authentic, the tweets are of my personal 1040 statements, and that over the last 28 years I have carried on multiple affairs with numerous kinds of taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, and even estate taxes. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize to my family, who knew me as a devoted family man and the leader of a powerful anti-tax movement. In actuality, I was leading a selfishly double life, buying presents for and taking exotic trips with capital gains taxes and transfer taxes. In 2004, I engaged in a week-long drug-fueled orgy with corporate income taxes, a decision I now wholeheartedly regret. And in 2010, at the height of my misconduct while in Paris, I strongly flirted with a European-style value-added tax. At this time, I'd like to ask the media to respect my family's privacy as we work through this ordeal, and also to respect the privacy of taxes, which I realize through my numerous encounters can actually be fair, decent, and even loving. Especially expatriation taxes, I think I will miss our wonderful evenings the most. Thank you very much.
Mr. Norquist.
Yeah. It's
he's definitely a competent humorist. He commits to the premise and plays it well.
Yeah, and that's him giving a fake press conference for The Onion of him at a podium with his Americans for Tax Reform logo on the front of the podium. It's pretty funny.
Nice. How he really feels about taxes, he says a little bit in this thing from yesterday. He says tariffs are taxes, and tariffs on manufacturing inputs are particularly stupid taxes. Taxing the raw materials domestic manufacturers need, those not even available in the United States, is an especially wrong-headed subset of an overall dumb idea. Because this was clear to everyone, Congress has long sought to reduce these burdens to growth by targeting these tariffs for, sadly, temporary elimination.
I guess he's not a strict constitutionalist then, because the Constitution totally allows for tariffs. The word tariffs is in there several times.
Yeah. Well, the comments are also kind of informative on how stupid people are, and also put a notch in the evidence column for you saying that all this stuff is idiocracy. This guy, Max Rugemer, on the Washington Times comments says, simpleton nonsense of Norquist's anti-tariff stand. He says, a free society like America can't compete with a communist dictatorship like Red China, where salaries are what the government says they are, and tariffs are needed to make sure that junk produced by victimized slave labor doesn't destroy America's industries.
Well, speaking of that, we need to mention briefly on this thing that happened in Venezuela.
That was mind-blowing.
I have a local Casper edition to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing reads like it was out of The Onion. But since who was the dictatorship of Venezuela that everybody hated? Hugo Chavez.
He left and got replaced with someone worse who had lower ratings, actually.
Yes. And so this worse guy is trying to out Chavez. And because holidays are coming up, and I guess elections are coming up too, a little bit after that, he decided it'd be a good idea to send the military to occupy the Venezuelan version of Best Buy to drop the prices of things like flat screen TVs. So instead of people lining up in a Black Friday fashion for the sales that the companies are doing willingly, he sent the army to go out and knock the prices down, so people are lined up to buy those things at the government price.
Yeah, and I think there's not comments on this. It's USA Today, and they've closed comments. But I imagine a lot of people, a lot of liberal and younger people would probably be like, yeah, that's a good idea. They should do that here. Without realizing, okay, not only is it immoral, but it will end cool stuff as you know it. Like, yeah, maybe you'll get that flat screen for $50, but it'll be the last flat screen you'll ever get in your country because there'll be no incentive to ever bring them in or make them again for that country.
Great point. Great point.
But someone tried to do this privately in Casper today. Why don't you read this news piece from K2 Radio I just sent you?
Right, which has no affiliation with K2 TV.
It used to.
For full disclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but none currently.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Suspected bomb threat at Casper Walmart ends up being extortion scam.
This is the Walmart I shop at. It's like right up the street. I go there. It's the east side Walmart.
And the Walmart I used to shop at too.
Yep.
Yeah. A suspected bomb threat at a Casper Walmart is being treated as an apparent extortion attempt. Casper police say at around noon on Tuesday, November 12th, the manager of the Eastside Casper Walmart received a phone call from a man who made a bomb threat. During the initial conversation, the manager eventually realized the situation was less serious than originally thought. And this Lieutenant Mike Thompson, who is one of the PIOs, I used to talk to him occasionally, he says this was being done pretty much as an extortion type scam in that they wanted the store to provide money on essentially transferable type gift cards to be able to transfer the funds to this individual. Did he really do a bomb threat saying put money on my card?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, what'd they say? Like, yeah, come by and pick him up.
Yes.
And somebody tried this also in Laramie today. So,
Great idea for a scam there, guys.
Horrible idea. Stupid idea.
Yeah, this is like immoral, America's dumbest criminal.
But
material.
Also stupid. Yeah, it's idiotic. It's theft in idiocracy. Yeah. Like even if he got the cards, like, doesn't he realize that they'd be traceable
when
he uses them? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but they just take the money right off or void the card.
Yeah. He should have asked for Bitcoin. Transferred
so you can put
to
him in a dark wallet.
To a dark wallet.
There you go.
Yeah. To an. Yeah, man. Did you listen to the Cody interview?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You should.
You told me about it. I asked you about it.
Well, yeah, it was about 5 minutes long because he was busy getting butt searched and trying to get his wallet back and trying to make a plane. But, you know, it was pretty entertaining. Like, I talked about how the bomb show, my band Bomb, not bombs at Walmart, fake bombs at Walmart. My band Bomb, one of the shows that people remember the most is one where, like, we got shut down by the police after three songs. People remember that show more than the ones where we played a bitchin' set and played three encores, you know? So I remember the interview with Cody where he only could do 5 minutes because everything was going wrong and he was in a government controlled area of an airport more than I remember.
Poor Cody.
Other
Poor
ones.
Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Bummer. But so basically, like, what this person tried to do in Casper is what the Venezuelan government is doing in Venezuela.
Except it's way worse what the folks in the Venezuelan government are doing.
Yeah, because they'll shoot you because there's no bomb in this case. There's actually, you know, goons with machine guns who will shoot the store owner if he raises the prices.
Yeah, yeah. But there's also, if we're going to, I guess we've already done it once, so we've broken the Spooner seal. But I also really love Spooner's thing about how the government's so much worse than the highwayman who robs you on the side of the road. Because the highwayman will take the money and go away and leave you alone like you want him to. And the government will sit there and say, I'm your protector. Don't you like it when I protect you? And will harass you constantly and talk about how good, all the good things they're doing for you by stealing this money because they're using it to protect you. And that's what the new Chavez, the Neo Chavez kind of guy is doing out there. He's saying, see, look, we'll get you some cheap flat screen TVs, maybe a tablet. Come on. You love us, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like basically the Venezuelan equivalent of Obama going to buy me a phone. You know, it's the dictator going to get me a cheap flat screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. How awful.
Yeah. So we should probably go to the market. Speaking of the opposite of everything we just talked about, let's go to the real free market. All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com.
It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
So we're rolling. You can roll while I open my mail, because I have more complete seasons of CSI here to open.
Gross. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go off on tariffs a little bit more.
Yeah, I
got to
say, we've talked about how people need to, if they're going to sell media that's also available for download, they need to find ways to make it as streamlined as downloaded files. I will say this. Playing stuff from DVDs is a lot more work intensive than playing stuff that where all the menus and everything's been stripped out and it's just a file, including like getting back to where you were with some DVD programs. So
100%. Yeah. I'm on board with you.
Screw that. And there's a lot of old media. There's a lot of TV and movies that like they wait like a year. Like they'll put it out on DVD pretty quick now after it leaves the theater or goes on TV. But like a lot of times you can't get stuff streaming on Netflix. You have to like order the DVDs from Netflix. And that just encourages people to bootleg it. It's not going to make them more money in the long run. In the long run, it's going to just completely – everyone is just going to be using like, you know, dark wallet on an Android phone to download their stuff directly. The dark wallet for Pirate Bay or something, whatever it is. You know?
Oh, completely. And it's so silly to me that they don't get that. They don't grasp that, that there are a big percentage of people out there that don't even – I mean, they may have a DVD player, but it's in a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to just watching files digitally now or streaming from their apps or whatever it is. So why have a business model to where the only way you're going to distribute a piece of media
is something that's
the equivalent of a piece of vinyl or a cassette tape, something that's obsolete.
Something that has to go through the mail. That's so ridiculous. That's like – really? And I mean, with printers, with 3D printers, it's in its infancy, but it's kind of to the point where, like, I really think in a bunch of years, all you're going to order from Amazon is going to be, you know, media, the plastic for your 3D printer. And then just you're going to download, like, the design. You know, you're going to pay 99 cents.
You won't
even
order it from Amazon. It'll be a subscription service. You'll sign up for how much you use your 3D printer, and it'll be like the milkman coming, you know, every week to drop off your plastic pellets.
You're so old. Yeah.
I don't remember the milkman, but okay, the Tonks coffee man or whoever it is.
We had a milkman when I was a kid. I mean, it was a running joke when I was a kid. A lot of people say, yeah, he's the milkman's kid. Like, if you didn't look like your father. Because it was, you know, a man that came to your house every day.
Yeah. Well, South Park did a whole episode on that, on how now the UPS man is the milkman because everybody's ordering things from Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. So go on.
Ah, yeah. Well, while you open up your thing.
Well, I open up my statist victim crime story units, four seasons of them. Yeah,
I went through the rest of these comments on Norquist's article about his anti-tariff article, and they're all like pro-tariffs. And I didn't realize people were this economically ignorant. But I mean, isn't it
a lot of Republicans are really pro-tariff? It's kind of like the same mentality that's against immigration without working on a solution. Like,
yeah,
they can't, the average Republican can't understand. I guess that's collectivizing, but a lot of Republicans I've listened to or heard on TV or on the radio can't understand why you'd have open borders ever, but they never listen to the caveat of like, well, yeah, but we also want to completely end all forms of welfare. That's part of the how we do that, you know? Yeah.
And well, to me, its root must be in some kind of jingoism or nationalism or even racism, because why does it make sense to impose different – why would the market work differently?
They want to go back to an America of the mind. I mean, you got to think too about like the world wasn't always as global a place. It's become a lot more global in my lifetime. Like when I was a kid – things weren't made in China. Like China was like Cuba. Like America didn't trade with China. Things were not made in Korea. Things were made in Taiwan and they were cheap. Like if something didn't, something either, most things either that were manufactured either said made in the USA on the bottom or said nothing or said made in Taiwan. And if they said made in Taiwan, it was cheap shit you didn't want. And it's not that way, man. It's now it's like, you know, you can go buy fine furniture that no one can afford that's made in America that's like, you know, $5,000 for a dining room set. Or you can go to IKEA and buy something that's as functional and probably looks as good in a lot of ways, you know, for $300.
Yeah, yeah. And all because of the good thing, the only good thing that Nixon did, i.e. going to China and normalizing relations with them and not having a war stance. So if he did that with if
he didn't even really do anything, he just kind of got out of the way. A lot of times,
you know,
Reagan didn't bring down the wall. He just got out of the way. That's what a lot of these people really did when they're remembered for doing something grand to open relations. No, they just stopped getting in the way of relations to an extent.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Yeah. Because all the peace deal is for Iran is stop the sanctions. Stop the same economic blockade that killed a half a million kids in Iraq. Stop
Nixon didn't open it up, man. It was Forrest Gump playing ping pong?
It was the ping pong, yeah.
It was the ping pong guy. It wasn't Forrest Gump, but it was the ping pong guys that opened up relations. And, you know, what brought
Nixon did have to get out of the way, though. He had to stop all the various restrictions.
And, you know, Hubert Selby, in the movie I made with him, said, you know, that what really brought down the Berlin Wall was a couple of dances going back from Moscow to New York. And there was a ballet exchange program that was kind of like the ping pong thing.
Yeah. But all tariffs are is a Berlin Wall for different industries. And it makes no sense why geography or nationality should have anything to do with how a market process works. All it is pointing guns at people and telling them to raise their prices or extorting money from them. And even on a practical level, if you're not going to take the moral argument, if you charge or impose taxes on raw materials or goods from elsewhere, then guess what? The final manufactured product or the thing that people sell you in your Best Buy stores is going to be more expensive.
Yeah. I mean,
those costs are always going to get passed on to the consumer. Always.
Everything that's made that has electronics in it, from your cell phone to your flat screen to your computer to your car, contain metals that are in extreme short supply in America. And they're actually becoming kind of conflict metals like diamonds or gold were in parts of Africa. But what is the substance called? There's a metal that's kind of rare.
It starts with an M, like molybdenum or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's,
there's a bunch of them.
You need it to make cell phones, and you can't get it in America, but, you know.
Well, not only that, but I think people are extremely stupid when they say things like, well, just tax the rich. Yep, that's all you had to hear.
I'm getting to the point. I'm getting to the point where that's all I have to say, but you can't really make a two-hour radio show out of that. So I guess we have to have more comments than that. Like,
I guess.
People write me all the time with these questions of like, what would you say? I was talking at college today to this guy who says that Obama's good because the government needs to build the roads, and without the blah, 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 and World War II was good. And I'm like, just walk away. You know, basically my answer with shit like that is, okay, if they're kind of intrigued but have some questions, answer them. But if they get upset defending against your answers, if they defend this is the acid test. If they defend the state like they're defending their family, you will never, ever reach them. They are a different species than you, and you should walk away.
Unless you are eminently patient. If you have the patience to sit there, you can try a little bit more.
I think sometimes
we get our triage is not perfect, and sometimes you can read it wrong. Sometimes maybe the person's just having a bad day and they're irritable.
That's true.
And you can plant the seeds.
I'm not patient. Scott Horton is. Scott Horton fights with idiots on Twitter all the time. I don't know why he does it.
He just loves to talk mess. He loves a good fight.
He'd like to talk mess.
Talk shit. I keep thinking it's a radio show.
Fucking shitty goddamn talk like you fucking want to. Don't be a pussy.
Okay, fuck it. He'll even get into long arguments with somebody like Justin Raimondo. Like, he doesn't just talk to people who he hates or thinks are stupid. He'll pick fights with anybody. He sticks true to his guns, no matter who's on the other end.
Cool.
Yeah, but I was going to say, man, so when you say things like tax corporations or tariff foreigners' goods, all you're doing is saying, I want to pay extra money for what I buy.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal is an extra tax on a corporation, guess what? That's not coming out of corporate bonuses. That's not coming out of their private jet fund.
But the real extreme, and I've heard this from Occupy Wall Street kind of people too, like, not that they're all like this, but the real extreme end of that socialist, like, hey, everything should be cheap or free and it'll be groovy, and the tax the corporation crowd and the tax the rich crowd. The extreme end of that, I've heard their rhetoric, it's pretty similar to the Venezuelan solution. And they don't understand that if you send armed thugs to force people to be what you think is fair, they will go out of business. They'll be like, well, okay, I'm just going to retire. You know, they'll just let their company
fail. Well,
that's
what people don't get. And they don't understand the definition of fair. It also, because this guy in the comments too, there's another guy who brings up that exact point. He says, we don't need...
And if they think like, well, that's okay, then the government will just take it over. And I'm like, how's that working out with Obamacare and Common Core, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's worse than the DMV. The DMV actually usually gets you your license after a bunch of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's more like Common Core or Obamacare. The website.
Right. Well, where it'll just never work and will always be stupid. Yeah.
It's idiocracy, man. It's idiocracy.
More and more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that whole meme there that it things should be fair. I mean, one of the guys here says we don't need a free market or free trade. We need fair trade. But here's the thing is if you let people be free to trade, they're going to come to the most fair thing because, hey, if I don't think the deal's fair, I'm not going to trade with you. And if you don't think the deal's fair, you're not going to trade with me. The only way to figure out fair is through negotiation of price. And that you can't do that if the government is putting up barriers like tariffs or taxes or regulations.
Man, I was thinking maybe we should call this episode Obamacare is Idiocracy, but I'm apparently not the first person by far to make that comparison.
I like the
Idiocracy predicts Obamacare doctor. Do you remember the scene in there where he goes to the doctor?
Oh,
and it's
the
like,
doctor was one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie.
He has a keyboard that's like a McDonald's keyboard. It's just pictographs, like broken arm, broken head.
No, that's the nurse. The nurse can't even talk, and she just points to symptom.
Yeah.
The doctor's all like, hey, man, your shit's like all gay
and shit. Doctor's high, I think. The doctor's high and stupid.
He's actually smoking a joint while he's talking to the guy. Yeah, yeah. He goes, you're probably like, a tard or something. But don't worry, you can still have a good life.
Brother's
my wife's
a tard.
Yeah, she's an airplane pilot.
My wife's a tard. Yeah, man.
Ugh. Man.
So were we done with Grover Norquist for now? Or did we have more?
Yeah, I think we're done with Norquist until he comes on our show and we convince him of anarchy and he convinces Ted Cruz of anarchy in reality. And then they shut down the government for real.
So things that the fiends need you to know. One is we have buttons for sale. They're always 10 buttons for $10 now. Go to the Freedom Fiends site and click on the link at the top that says buttons. We have a Python programmer, but we could probably use another one. You could donate to the fiends as little as $3 a month or $5 a month or $10 a month. You can amp the fiends, as Free Talk Live says it. You can amp us.
In the words of Danny Brown, my baby needs some Infamil.
Yeah, and
not really, because we're not going to.
Unlike Free Talk Live, we don't give you anything extra if you amp us. They have all sorts of.
No, that's not true, Michael.
You get
that's
on the golden floppy disk of redemption, which Free Talk Live does not have a golden floppy disk redemption. So they have all sorts of actual prizes.
They just call it the Free State Pledge List. Is what they call
it. Yeah, I don't know, but you can be kicked off that. You can never be kicked off the Free State or the golden floppy disk of redemption. You there? I think we lost Nima. Let's see. I'm just going to read this note
that
Stefan Kinsella sent me. Oh, okay. You're back.
I'm back. Sorry.
What happened?
I think I need a new Ethernet cord. Mine, I lose the internet when I bump my computer slightly now.
Wow, man.
Because I'm hardwired. I could switch to Wi-Fi for now until I get a new cord.
No.
I'll do that.
No.
I'm switching.
No.
Ugh. Good.
I don't like
Wi-Fi. It should be better now. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, but that drops out sometimes. When are you going to get a new cord? That's what I'm concerned about.
I have 10 in my truck, so okay. I'm a cable guy. I've got a bunch.
You're the cable guy.
I just need to go to my truck and grab one.
When are you going
to
do that? Well, you should do it now
after,
on the show.
After the show. No, we're almost done, all man. Right.
Teaching hospital, we're not going to have you change your cable.
I think people have figured out how to do an Ethernet cable. That's not a very hard thing.
Pretty soon you'll be able to just call the NSA and they'll come over and hook you up with free Di-Fi. The Dianne Feinstein Wi-Fi.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Di-Fi. Isn't that great?
Oh, you weren't there that day, were you? Oh, yeah, you
I
were
was.
There.
No. Oh, I was the one who thought it was completely hilarious.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't know it was hilarious.
Luke,
until
Luke came
you
up
me.
With the great meme.
Yeah.
Di-Fi. Call Di-Fi. Your local NSA provider for nationwide coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm looking
Fidelity
at the Fiend site.
Death.
Someone in Rochester, New York is looking at the Fiend site, and someone in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and someone in San Francisco.
Well, do we want to address our listener question?
Sure.
To keep our promise.
Your promise. I don't have no social contract. I heard a really funny thing the other day. I was reading on some site. It was on Free Keen on Ian's site, and he was talking about the election results, and they unseated the city council, or three members of the city. Three of the people that voted for the Bearcat are out, but that was in Manchester or somewhere else. But nobody votes in Keene. Like, I guess they're all anarchists, so, or not all of them, but somebody was arguing. Somebody who lives there was arguing with Ian in the, basically saying, you guys want to take over our city. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you people want to bring liberty. You're horrible. We want, what are they running on? Higher taxes and less freedom. But to paraphrase Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Didn't somebody also try to say that Ian was some kind of government plant? I love that.
I've never
in
heard
our
that.
Community. I don't know if it was the same beef, but somebody else.
I've heard it said that he's funded by the Koch brothers, but I've heard that the fiends are funded by the Koch brothers too. How do you say it?
It is a Wednesday show. The Koch brothers.
Koch. Okay, it's spelled
Koch. It's not Koch. It's Koch.
Yeah.
Or Koch. Koch-tipus.
Koch-tipus.
Yeah, I just love how in our community, the worst thing you can say about somebody is that they work for the government.
Yeah, I know. That should be more common. I mean, really, I think what Grover Norquist is trying to do with his drown in the bathtub thing is we've said there's a place for macho libertarian flash. And even if you're a Republican, as long as you and he doesn't really violate it because he's not a politician. He can't violate it. He just gets politicians to pledge to it. And it's pretty awesome to say, and I think he thought it was pretty funny, and he's a comedian, and he retweeted my joke or my serious joke of saying, I'm so small government, I make him look like FDR, which is kind of, I think that should be a thing of like people, you know, kids should be bragging like, yeah, I'm more small government than you. And they should be, instead of saying like, you know, your mom is so fat, it should be like, your mom is so status, she makes you get a building permit for Legos, you know? You ever heard that one?
No, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's not yours?
No, but that should be how it is. Yeah, okay. That should be, that's the world I'd like, where it's like, it's a dirty, fucking, filthy, whoring, disease-ridden piece of shit, whore thing to do to say you're from the government or you support the government. Because they're bullies, man. They're bullies. I mean, the end result of it is North Korea, and somewhere between Obamacare and North Korea is Venezuela pointing machine guns at shop owners' heads and saying, sell your shit at a loss.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point, man. That's what we're trying to do with the Freedom Fiends, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get people to say that. And do it in your own personal life too. It's not hard, man. You just stick to your guns, explain it to your family, and if they don't get it, then keep explaining it.
Yeah. You know what? Ian did the math on the Keene parking meters. You know, like he's being sued by the state for a civil conspiracy for putting nickels in parking meters.
Right.
He did the math on it and found out that like it barely generates any income. I mean, they spend, I don't know, this is just random numbers, but it's something like, you know, they spend $204,000 a year on parking enforcement and they make $200,000 a year. You know, they're making like $4,000 or $5,000 on this massive oppression on everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the government always does things at a loss. Why do you think the post office is always worried about cutting back hours and getting rid of Saturday, or the fact that it costs more money to, or it costs more to print the money and coin the money than it's actually worth? They don't care. It's just a jobs program. And I think that that's what they're really upset about, these meter maids, is they're just, they think it sucks that they worked so hard to get this government cushy job where they can just go around and push people around and write them tickets. And these Keeniacs are harshing their vibe, man. They're killing their buzz.
Did you see that Amazon is partnering with the United States Post Office to deliver Amazon mail in select cities on Sundays?
No, but I
you know, if they didn't have that law, the Lysander Spooner anti-Spooner law, where you couldn't compete with the post office, I'll bet that Amazon could replace the post office and do a better job.
Oh, completely. Yeah, I think Kyle Bennett did a whole paragraph on his Facebook feed. And I'm not sure. I guess it was in reference to that. I didn't know Amazon was doing that. But
yeah.
I think if there weren't the Spooner law, Amazon would have already been doing it, because it would help their business model so much to integrate that. And I really wonder, is Amazon the biggest single customer? I mean, of parcel delivery
probably,
services,
except for junk
mail. If you
mail,
included UPS and
maybe,
FedEx.
Yeah. I really like on Free Keen, somebody was bitching, you know, some local was bitching about, you people are trying to take over things with elections. And the guy replied, if you don't like free staters, then you should move out of Keen. If you continue to live here, then you consent to the inevitable free state takeover of city government. It's called the social contract, and you sign it every time you don't move away.
Yeah, how do them staters like their own medicine now?
Oh, they talked about how you'll never get enough people here. And I'm thinking like, man, I don't know. I think Ian did the math and it would take like 400 more votes to like win elections in Keene.
Yeah.
I think there's 400 anarchists there who, if they could be convinced to vote, would do it. It would do it.
I would think they would do it. And here's one reason why. I'm not 100% sure what the demographics in New Hampshire are like. But if it's like other rural, small town type of places, young people tend to move away and go to places that are bigger and have more opportunity, or places that they think are cool because they see them on TV.
Massachusetts. Boston is like an hour away, man, or 2 hours
away. And so what's usually left is your old people that are already established and have their homes already and don't feel like putting a lot of effort into moving.
And they're like, these horrible people, they're trying to lower our property taxes. It's tyranny. Yeah.
Right. So it seems to me like the biggest influx would be the free staters. I mean, are there any other people? Are there any other growth sectors of movement to Keene, New Hampshire, other than the free state?
A lot of people retire to New Hampshire. A lot of people from Massachusetts retire there because it's pretty and it's kind of backwoodsy and it's kind of an America of the mind with, you know, pretty leaves changing color and old white churches and old white people.
Well, maybe there is kind of a contest then, because old people like to vote. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Ooh, someone just, Jacob Toth just said, I got the Fiends buttons. Thanks again. Yay.
Good.
Worms. All right. The ones got through to Canada that I sent, I haven't heard yet if the ones got through to Croatia. I think that might take a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So you wanted to answer this.
Let's answer his question. Mostly because he phrased it with the subject, but Nima.
Yeah.
Which is a
me playing devil's
motif
advocate
that Michael's fond of, and I think is I like knowledge.
Nima's butt. I mention it often.
Of course, Soda Butt, Wyoming.
Is that a place?
You used to make fun of me for that all the time because I said Soda Butt on air when I was on TV in Wyoming.
Soda Butte.
Soda Butte. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When you see B-U-T-T on the teleprompter, it's hard not to say butt. I know there's an E after it, but you
really
fast.
I talk often about how you used to be on TV here, but I forget that I actually used to watch you on TV here. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, you did, yeah. You used to say, DJ, it's time for the Nima News.
Yep. Oh, I put that Nima News bump on the iPod for Sunday bumps. You used to play all the bumps. Now I'm playing them, but I can't put the tyranny. I can put the tyranny today in, but I can't put the Freedom Fix one in because it's like you smoking a bong and then like my wife having sex. So I can't play that on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to old Fiends.
It could be
Fiends.
A lady exercising and a person smoking hookah.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been listening to old Fiends from like, you know, episode 50 and 20 and 100 lately while I've been cutting wood. And you are less minarchist than you were. We always talk like, yeah, I was a small government Republican. Then I met Nima and he was an anarchist. And now I'm a straight up anarchist. But you were kind of minarchist. I think what really killed it for you was the same thing that killed it for me. Was Ron Paul losing? Neither of us voted for him, but I think subconsciously that was your nail in the the coffin, and mine too, for any last hope of changing things with voting. Because
I would buy that I was less practically minarchist than then. I think I was still full on theoretically anarchist back in the early days.
Yeah, but you put it this way.
I talked about politics.
Yeah,
a lot.
You did. And like now, if I say something like you said in those early episodes, you're like, well, yeah, we'll put on our minarchist hat for that. You didn't used to say that. You used to just
I didn't.
To just immediately pull off your anarchist hat and right under it was your minarchist hat or something.
I was in disguise. No. But I guess I did have. I don't know if I had hope, but
you would
like
never
it was worth talking.
The
about.
Main thing is you would never differentiate. Of now we're going to talk like minarchists. You would just do
That's
it.
True.
And you kind of get on me now when I do it. If I don't preface it, it's kind of weird. You should go back and listen to like episode 50.
Okay.
Yeah, I also found. An episode from 2 years ago where I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for programmers to try to help me make, like, fuck, I've been trying. I've gone through like 8 programmers who couldn't do what I wanted. And, the developer of Blink was a total dick to me yesterday. I'm not going to go into it, but, I asked him a question and he's like,
you can tell me off air.
Yeah. He's a dick, man, to me. So, and then
we don't want to put him on blast too much.
Yeah. I heard a bunch of like first things. Like there was another one. It was the first time I used the word square. And you were like, yeah, that's a good idea. Like I said, yeah, I think we should just call government stuff square, man, because there's nothing more square than that. And you're like, yeah, that's good. It's just kind of fun, like going back and listening to when we came up with stuff. So go on.
Fiends progression.
I'm really trying to just ride out this episode, I think, subconsciously, so we don't get to the user question. So I can say, well, Nima.
I'll spit it out. The question directed towards me, quote, if you don't believe in what the oil companies are doing, are you willing to walk to work so that you're not supporting a company that you don't believe in? End quote.
Well, that There's wasn't him saying it fallacies. To you. That was somebody saying that to him at school.
Yeah. Right. But he's asking us, well, what would you say to this guy?
Well, my answer is we'd all be like riding nuclear powered space cars to work. Or why would we be going to work? I think everything would be done with telecommuting now. And I don't think we'd have to work. I mean, I don't want to be like those people from that cult. What's it called?
The Zeitgeist. Yeah. Resource-based economy.
I really think there'd be – I think that without their communist attributes and greenbackerism, I think that really – there'd be very little need for people to do any kind of grunt work anymore. And I think that
maybe not. I think there's always need for work. There's always work that needs to be done. And there's always people that want to work. I think that people wouldn't be sort of enslaved to toil way more than they want to and not spend any time with their families because they need to put food on the table and pay all their taxes at the same time.
Well, people want to build things. And that's kind of an innate desire. And I have that innate desire, too. With me, it's often information, like building words or, you know, building books or building movies. But I go nuts if I don't have something to do for a couple days. Like, I constantly need to do things. And there are people who don't have that drive, who just want to bang on the drum all day, you know, just want to party and don't want to build anything. There are people like that. And in our society, they're kind of considered parasites. But maybe if there wasn't a need to work, there wouldn't be a desire to feed them and they still wouldn't starve because, you know, maybe like when I first moved to San Francisco, I was working 10 hours a week as a barback, which pays better minimum wage, but not much. And I was paying rent and paying food and living. Like when I first moved there in 86, it was that cheap to live there then.
Wow.
I wasn't scamming anybody. I was working as a barback and putting up posters for a club, like working like 10 to 15 hours a week. And I was playing in a rock band, which made a little money, like probably made me 20, 30 bucks a week. And I was living pretty well, man. So, you know, I don't know. And there definitely was a government there, but it wasn't as just crushed the way it is now. It was kind of a Wild West still in a way. It was before the dot-com boom and after the hippie boom, and real estate was really cheap and crime wasn't really, really, really bad yet. And it was kind of pleasant, man. And I kind of think that's like a window of what the world might be like without governments. I think the average person could probably work 10 hours a week at something unskilled and, you know, make enough money to bang on the drum all day.
Yeah.
And people
wouldn't surprise me at all.
People who wanted to build grand things would be able to do it and would have a lot less in the way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cody Wilson wants to build things, you know. I wanted to ask him that, but I didn't get time. Like, you know, have you always had this like need to come up with something? I think he does.
Yeah. Yeah, grand things that could replace petrochemicals. But I don't know. I think before we get into the big picture stuff, the first problems I have with this person's question, which is not the person questioning us, but the person who questioned him and then he questioned us. If you don't believe in what the oil companies are doing, well, what do you mean what they're doing?
Yeah,
I believe in the services that we use all the day. Yeah,
I just don't believe in how they're structured, which is like they're part of the U.S. government. Like Halliburton is part of the United States military for all intents and purposes.
Right. But that's the only thing that's bad about the oil companies, if there's anything, is that they're big state corporations, state sanctioned entities that then go and influence U.S. foreign policy and U.S. domestic policy. But the thing that sours the milk is simply the state. It's not anything else. The fact that I have cheap enough fuel to where I can drive my truck around all day, I'm perfectly happy with that. I think that's great that the oil companies provide that for me. And here's the thing is oil companies do so much more than just – I mean, you couldn't circumvent the oil companies just by walking everywhere. I mean, petrochemicals are used in so much of the products.
You wouldn't have food. You know, you'd have to go back to like an agricultural-based economy where you trade chickens to your neighbors for wheat.
Yeah, because what are you going to do? Not shop at the supermarket?
And that's, you know,
not
a lot
order
of
things from Amazon?
A lot of people have a really small view of the world, and this gets into the whole tariff thing, but even like locally and state to state, you know, there's a lot of people who think like, well, what we need to do is raise the price of gas to $20 a gallon, and then people will develop better, you know, more better for the environment fuels. And I'm like, no, that would put the world or whatever place it's done and other parts of the world into a dark ages to where like you wouldn't have any of the things you have, you know, like your supermarket shelves would be empty in 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, price is information, and it's supposed to be the truth. You know, you could argue maybe that gas is too cheap, but then you would have to argue that it's because of state intervention that it's too cheap. And if you wanted to find the real price, you would say, hey, take a hands-off approach to it then. And then maybe gas would be $20 a gallon, and somebody would have the incentive to develop personal dirigibles that go out of the roof of your house and float you to your neighbors or something like that. Just saying that we need to impose something, it's the same problem. It's saying, because the problem is created by government intervention in the first place. So something like raising the price or adding a tariff or walking to work, those kinds of things really don't help anything.
Yeah. Do you have more on that?
Yeah. Let's see. So that you're not supporting a company that you don't believe in. Yeah. Well, also there's a bunch of different companies. There's competition. So I guess that's the other thing is people also tend to think that there's some monolith or some cabal, but these companies also compete with each other, you know, and they try to undercut each other, and they try to get contracts that are exclusive to them so that the other companies don't get that contract. You know, Exxon trying to make sure they get all the oil in Kurdistan and things like that. So I don't know. The whole question seems pretty economically ignorant, and I think you would have to start with basic Austrian principles if you're going to try to convince this person of anything, and then also with a strong emphasis on the fact that the state is what sours the milk and makes all of the bad things that you think that the oil companies are doing to you or causing in the world. Those are things that they couldn't do or wouldn't do sans the state involvement.
Yay! You answered a user's question.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Before we go, will you read this paragraph I just sent you that's from a Southern Poverty Law Center site about how people who don't like the TSA are crazy and that's what led to the shooting?
Yeah. And nobody even has a good source on this yet. All I've heard is that government officials say he had a piece of paper.
Yeah, I want to know what I want to read what he read.
Yeah. Has anybody produced evidence of the document
yet? Of course
not. I have yet to hear that. Okay.
No.
But despite the fact that there's no actual evidence, surprise, surprise, SPLC is reporting this. Paragraph, well, I'll start with the headline. Hate Watch exclusive. Alleged LAX shooter referenced Patriot conspiracy theories. The 23-year-old man who allegedly killed the TSA
official. Just read what I just pigeoned you.
No. That's what you just pigeoned me.
No. Read the second thing I just pigeoned you. I pigeoned you a paragraph from this article.
Sure. The TSA, short for the Transportation Security Administration, did they really have to print that? All right. Is an agency of the DHS charged with ensuring the security of transportation, most notably air transportation. Although it has not been widely singled out by patriots, it has been subjected to criticism by far-right homophobes, among others, who have alleged that TSA agents engaging in hand searches are really sexually groping travelers.
So you're a homophobe.
Why do you have to be a homophobe?
You're a homophobe
to not want somebody to touch your junk
if you don't want a stranger's finger up your butt. Yeah.
Wow, that's mind blowing.
You're
man.
A homophobe if you don't want a stranger reaching down your grandma's diaper. Man, yeah. This is so fucked. These people are so fucked.
This is state rape culture. You know, a lot of people always talk about the horrors of rape culture, but that's what this is, man. This is the SPLC saying you're going to bend over and you're going to take it from the TSA, or else you're some kind of homophobe.
And
or
you're
hate
not. And if you even notice that it's something you don't want, you're a homophobe and a hate monger. That's
right.
Just crazy
right.
talk,
right.
man. How did I end up in this end of the multiverse, Nima?
That's what I asked you the other day.
I know. It's in the notes.
I don't know. I wish there was some kind of some way
eject,
to get out of
eject
it.
Eject button. Yeah.
It must be the one that we decided was the most interesting for us. And
well,
so
I tell
that's
you,
why
man.
We're here because then we get to complain about it on the radio all day. That's why we're in this edge
I'll
of
tell
multiverse.
You. It takes 4.5 years for radio signals to get to that one possibly habitable planet in Alpha Centauri. So I'm hoping that if we can keep doing radio for that long, and I don't know how long it would take them to get here and save us, but maybe they can go instantly.
It's like that episode of South Park where Kyle moves away, and the whole plot point is Cartman's goes to where Kyle is and conceives of a plot to get Kyle to move back to town because Cartman just can't conceive of life without ripping on Kyle constantly. So that's why we're in this edge of the multiverse. We can't conceive of life where we're not ripping constantly on statists.
Yeah, because we just don't like bullies, and governments are the ultimate bullies. And I think that's a good enough place as any to end this wonderful Freedom Fiends Wednesday fucking goddamn piss shit motherfucker episode.
Fucking A.
Fucking A. Don't watch your cornhole in prison. See, that's more rape culture. Fucking A. Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Don't let the TSA touch your cornhole. Don't let the Albuquerque police touch your cornhole. You know, I got to add, So far, it's two men and one woman have come forth as having been butt raped in New Mexico by police for who didn't have drugs, being repeatedly medically butt raped.
Doctors and nurses who are supposed to have taken a Hippocratic oath.
I think that this is the state reaction to the show Breaking Bad. I think like everyone just jokes now about how New Mexico is where you can drive truckloads of meth through and they won't notice or catch you. And they're like, nope, we're going to catch it all. I think so.
If we have to anally search everybody in the state. Oh, man. What's that? Oh, that was remember the Beavis and Butthead movie? The FBI agent who's voiced by the Unsolved Mysteries guy. Like, he's obsessed with cavity searches. Yeah. And he has a line in it when he's like, cavity searches all around or something.
You know,
everybody he sees.
You know what's awesome? I watched that movie W, the Oliver Stone movie. Do you know it? Uh-huh. Do you know it?
I saw the preview. I didn't watch it, no.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's a really good movie, man. It just totally just ruins George W. Bush. But, you know, Stone's a Republican, so it's got some...
As if Bush didn't ruin himself?
Yeah, for Republicans. Yeah, yeah. But Cheney is played by Stacey Keach, who played Officer Stadenko in the Cheech and Chong movies, who's the guy that I based Sergeant Dan Banning on.
Who Cheney is played by him?
Cheney is played by Stacey Keach, who also played Stadenko, who influenced performance. Yeah, so
that's good casting. That's good casting.
Yeah, and the other casting that's everybody who's anybody is in this. Like, I think they all work for scale. I think they're like, Oliver Stone's making a movie making fun of Bush. I'll pay to be in it. You know, it's got Noah Wiley. It's got all sorts of people in it. It's got It's got Noah Wiley in a kind of minor part. I mean, that's how, like, well cast, you know, like star cast.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Noah Wiley is? Yeah. No. He was on ER. He's really handsome.
Hey, Fiona Apple.
Women kind of fawn over him. He also played Steve Jobs in The Pirates of Silicon Valley really, really well. Mm. Played him really well.
Okay.
But, but George Bush's mother, what's her name? Barbara Bush. Is played by the mother from Requiem for a Dream. She's in my Selby movie.
Oh, nice.
What's her name?
She'd be perfect at that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got me drawing a blank now. You know who she is. She's the mom in Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. Rectum for a Dream, did you say?
No. That's the New Mexico remake.
Ellen Burstyn. Now, I was kind of thinking, well, that's kind of weird to cast her for that. I guess it's age appropriate. You know, she's a gray-haired, pretty good-looking older lady, so she could play Barbara Bush. But I was kind of thinking, here's what I think Oliver Stone was really going for in casting her as the mother of George W. Bush. She also, when she was about 30 years old, she played the mother in the movie The Exorcist. She played the mother of the possessed child whose little girl's name was Reagan. So I think that's an inside joke in Oliver Stone's mind.
In Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Good, good.
All right.
Keen eye there, Michael. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. I also listened to an episode from about 2 years ago where you just got Netflix, and I was like, cool, now we can do that libertarian movie review segment every show that we're going to talk about. I'll send you a list of about 10 movies I want you to watch. And you're like, just send me one, and we'll see how that goes. And I was reviewing movies you hadn't seen, and you're like, do you watch like 4 movies a week? And I said, I watch like 4 movies a day. And you were like, I watch about 4 movies a year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And two of them are going to be in theaters this year. I'm
going
to see the sequel to Hunger Games, and I'm also going to give Ender's Game a go.
Good. You can review them, and I'll update my blog while you do on here. Yeah. Right. But I got to go because I have 4 seasons of CSI to watch on DVD.
My wife made me some red beans and rice, so I'm going to go grub.
Cool, man. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, man.
Bye.
Yep. Peace.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.